Good evening, with a look at your latest news. I'm Jevy Ebanks from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. In the wake of recent crime, Premier the Honourable Andre Ebanks and Governor Her Excellency Jane Owen are jointly addressing public safety and how authorities are responding across the islands.
The recent incidents of crime within our community are being taken very seriously. Given the importance of this matter, I called a meeting this morning, inviting Police Commissioner Kurt Walton to brief both the government and the leader of the opposition on the current situation and the steps being taken to address it.
I strongly believe that by working together, being vigilant, and utilizing our skills in areas such as forensics and detection, we can reduce the sort of crimes we've seen in recent days and weeks and keep our islands safe for residents and visitors alike. That is why we are prioritizing the resources we put into patrols over the Christmas period around all of our islands and commercial premises.
You can listen to the message in full right after this newscast. With the weekend jewelry store robbery on Fort Street top of mind, the deputy leader of the opposition today filed a private member's motion to ban masks and full head coverings in public, saying they're being used by criminals to hide their identities.
Our business owners are fearful, and our police are being forced to identify shadows instead of faces. And it's now time for us to restore the Caymanian standard of transparency and public safety.
Georgetown Central MP, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan, who raised the issue during Finance Committee, which the Commissioner of Police acknowledged as a concern, but not on a wide scale. CCTV footage of the weekend robbery showed a man in high visibility construction clothing with his head covered. The motion was filed in Parliament today. Police are investigating two recent pedestrian collisions. They say on Friday, the 12th of December, at around 11:15 a.m., a pedestrian was struck by a Honda Inspire at Shedden Road and Elgin Avenue. The victim suffered minor injuries and was discharged from the hospital. The driver was arrested for driving with an expired registration. Then at 12:10 p.m., two juveniles were hit by a Chevrolet Cavalier on West Bay Road near Lawrence Boulevard. Both were treated for non-life-threatening injuries and later discharged. The driver passed a breath test. Both incidents remain under investigation by the Traffic and Roads Policing Unit. A man has gone on trial today facing an 11-count indictment for rape, indecent assault, and other sexual offenses against a 13-year-old girl. To protect the identity of the complainant, no identifying information will be published. Jason Preston McLean is alleged to have assaulted the girl between February and May 2023 at a residential address in Georgetown and at an address in Bodentown. Opening the case before a jury of seven, Senior Crown Counsel Scott Wainwright told the court that the incidents began in February with inappropriate touching and culminated in May 2023 with rape. The court heard that in February 2023, Mr. McLean allegedly touched the girl inappropriately while in a residential bathroom. He is further accused of inviting the teenager to engage in sexual activity on the 6th of May 2023 at a location in Bodentown. In June, the defendant is alleged to have again touched the girl inappropriately, including on her genitalia, before later raping her. The indictment includes seven counts of indecent assault, three counts of inviting a minor to engage in sexual activity, and one count of rape. Mr. McLean denies all the charges. Represented by Samson's Law, Mr. McLean remains on bail while the case continues. Proceedings are expected to run throughout the week. Justice the Honorable Cheryl Richards, KC, head of the Criminal Division, is presiding over the matter in the Kirkhouse building. John Mark Bodden appeared in Grand Court in relation to an incident that occurred on the 15th of November in Cayman Brac. The Crown alleges that during an altercation with the complainant at Roatan Spice in Watering Place, Cayman Brac, Mr. Bodden was in possession of a fake firearm. Mr. Bodden pleaded not guilty to charges of carrying an imitation firearm, making a threat to kill, and causing fear or provocation of violence. He's also pleaded not guilty to a further charge of causing harassment, alarm, and distress. Mr. Bodden is scheduled to stand trial on the 27th of January, with proceedings expected to last up to 4 days. He remains remanded in custody. In the summary court, Abigail Gale appeared in summary court charged with assaulting and resisting a police officer, as well as disorderly conduct after an incident at the Red Bay Primary School on the 30th of April. Last week, she pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct, admitted she using insulting words towards police with the intent to breach the peace. Ms. Gale has been bailed to return to court in the new year when the remaining charges are set to be dealt with. In other local news, starting the 1st of January, application fees for naturalization and registration as a British Overseas Territory citizen will rise for the first time in more than 15 years. Naturalizations will cost CI $1,800 per adult, while registration will total $1,300. A new $300 filing fee will also apply to British Citizenship Services. Officials say the increase reflects administrative costs, including background checks, pledge ceremonies, and coordination with the UK Home Office. The office says Cayman's fees remain lower than those charged in Britain. Cayman's wild chicken population is something the Department of Agriculture wants government to keep a close eye on. The National Conservation Council held its final meeting of the year on Friday before jumping into its agenda, which includes the Hemington Forest Consultation Report and a climate change update. DOA Director Wilbur Welcome was invited to update members about the bird flu.
We're still consigned to the 8 cases we found on the one farm. We have done extensive sampling. Just up to this morning, I was notified of 2 additional samples coming from Cayman Brac, and there have been no further positive tests other than the one original farm in West Bay on November 28th.
Mr. Welcome said the DOA is still in the 21-day surveillance period at the original farm.
We're working with our original farmers, especially poultry farmers, to ensure their biosecurity measures are as needed to minimize future potential spread of avian influenza. So right now, we feel like we're in a very good position, but as I mentioned, we continue to do surveillance and monitoring. Some of that is being done by our DOA team, and some is being done by the Department of Environment, especially as it relates to wild birds in nearby wetlands. So
Mr. Wilbur said Cayman is in a, quote, unique situation because of its feral chicken population.
Feral chickens and poultry of other kinds are very susceptible to catching avian influenza and spreading it. So I just wanted to put that on your radar, that it is something that as a country, we probably need to consider how we start looking at our feral chicken population.
The DOA director says in terms of tracing, all of the birds on the initial farm had been there for quite a significant period of time with no recent importation. That's why the DOA suspects the initial outbreak came from migratory birds, adding that there is potential that the avian flu, quote, may come here again. Parliament has approved a higher stamp duty rate on million-dollar property deals, with government arguing the change is tightly targeted and the opposition warning about the knock-on effects. Here's Radio Cayman's April Cummings with more.
The Landholding Companies Share Transfer Tax Amendment Bill is one of the key new revenue measures in the 2026-2027 budget. It raises stamp duty from 7.5% to 10%, on property transfers of $2 million and above, whether the land is developed or not. Finance Minister the Honorable Rolston Anglin says duty on property sales is already outperforming expectations, and the higher top-end rate will keep government finances on track.
The unaudited financial results for 2024 show that government collected some $88.735 million for stamp duty on property transfers, substantially exceeding the approved budget that year of $67.5 million. Further analysis by the Lands and Survey Department indicates that CI $35.641 million, or 40.1% of this duty, is related to property transfers in the $2 million and above bracket. In 2025, stamp duty revenues continue to be a star performer, with some 87.826 million collected as of the 30th of November 2025.
Minister Anglin argues that by setting the threshold at $2 million, the increase will not unduly burden the ordinary person, and that those buying at the top end of the market can reasonably be asked to pay more. Bodentown West MP Chris Saunders went further, saying that many high-net-worth investors have done extremely well in Cayman and can afford to contribute more.
We have had people that come into this country that have become millionaires literally overnight and don't want to pay anything. But yet, we wonder why it is that the middle class is taking a beat. Mr. Speaker, let me tell a little rule in economics. The only group of people that pay taxes in a country, really pay a tax, is the middle class. The poor don't pay it because they can't afford it. And the rich just basically pass it on.
Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Kenneth Bryan, did not oppose the bill but raised concerns that developers building mid-range homes could see their land costs rise and pass some of that on to buyers. He called for stronger, more independent analysis of major tax and fee changes, even as both sides acknowledged the need to fund core public services. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. Parliament has approved the Land Holding Company's Share Transfer Tax Amendment Bill, raising stamp duties from 7.5% to 10% on property transfers worth $2 million or more as a part of the 2026-2027 budget revenue package. Government says the change targets only high-end deals, arguing buyers at that level can absorb the increase without putting extra pressure on ordinary Caymanian home buyers. And Cayman Airways is marking a major milestone today, and Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles joined them for the celebration at the Tampa International Airport.
Cayman Airways and Tampa International are marking 40 years of non-stop service between Grand Cayman and Tampa with a full afternoon of celebrations. Earlier, check-in counters were decked out in Cayman colors, and the party moved into the main terminal by the Phoebe Flamingo statue with live music from Caymanian artist Stuart Wilson. Photo backdrops were there, and Cayman branded gift bags and treats for various travelers.
We have the Honorable Jay Ebanks, who has made the trip to celebrate this route. Can you tell us a little bit about why you believe this route is important and why it was important for you to be here to mark this?
Well, it marks 40 years for Cayman Airways. That is a legacy, that is a milestone. That shows the commitment that Cayman Airways has. And I am a full supporter of Cayman Airways. I'm happy to be here to celebrate with the staff.
The main event has been taking place at Gate F90, where guests are enjoying cassava cake, Cayman Airways fruit punch, and crew photo opportunities ahead of a ceremonial cake cutting and remarks from Airport Executive Chris Miner, Cayman's Deputy Premier and Tourism Minister, the Honorable Gary Rutte, and Cayman Airways Deputy Chairman Captain Chris Bergstrom, leading up to the anniversary flight's departure back to Grand Cayman. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. Have a good evening.